Welcome back. This is episode number 278. Today I'm talking to Michael Gunyon. He is the VP of Sales and Marketing for Infinito. Infinito was established in 2005 by two veterans in the multinational outsourcing industry. 2005 was very much the early days of Philippine outsourcing. So they've very much evolved with the industry at the forefront of the industry. I speak to Michael about what Infinito is, the service range that they offer, their typical client, and also we talk about actionable points and steps for people in business about offshore staffing, whether you're already offshoring or looking to start. So a great conversation with Michael. I really learned a lot, and I hope you do also. If you want any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/278. Enjoy. This podcast is brought to you by Payoneer, the leading global B2B payment solution for the outsourcing industry. If you're a BPO or freelancer or have outsourced staffing, then Payoneer makes sending and receiving international payments super simple, quick, secure, and of course, low cost. They have some fantastic features which have been designed specifically for the needs of this industry. You can easily manage payments between your clients, staff, and suppliers across multiple currencies and international bank accounts. Payoneer help make outsourcing easy, so consider them now. And if your BPO, clients, or suppliers aren't already using Payoneer, then ask them why not. For a limited time, Payoneer is offering a $50 bonus if you sign up now. So go to register.payoneer.com/OA or go to our website and we will have links there. Infinito is a very well-established outsourcing supplier here in the Philippines. Can you tell us, a little bit about Infinito and how it fits into the market and how it serves your client base around the world?
Sure. Happy to. Yes, as you said, I happen to be located in California, but I do spend a good amount of time in the Philippines, working with the teams there. Let's see how Infinito fits into the market. We work with small and medium sized companies, usually that are emerging in some way or another. Lots of our clients are venture backed, so they're tend to be expanding. Others are looking to simply optimize their processes, cut costs and find resources faster, go to market sooner and so forth. So we are continually refining the model, but for the most part, we work with small and medium companies that are in an emerging or expanding status. And as far as geographical, we support them basically globally, so all around the world. But the lion's share of our clients are in the U.S.
The history of Infinito goes back a long way. I mean, the industry is only, 25 years old itself in its entirety. And you've been there for a good proportion of that. What was the journey and how did Infinito start?
We've been in business now for about 15 years, 15 of those 25 years. And the journey started with our two founders, a serial entrepreneur named Richard Eldridge, and a former senior executive for Philippine Airlines, Manolo Aquino, when they joined forces to establish a small service company supporting a couple of clients. And here we are 15 years later, and we're 850 people strong and basically growing by 30-40% per year. So the journey started with modestly in a small office, and over the years continue to organically grow, continue to add strong leadership and to refine the go-to-market, messaging and to fill gaps along the way. the company decided that it didn't make sense to target, you know, big enterprises, because the niche was and the desire was to have a real custom company, customized approach to delivering service to our clients all around the world, and giving them the, you know, superior touch as compared to maybe some of our competitors. So our goals have always been to deliver, over deliver, and certainly to meet our commitments, and to be operationally excellent along the way so that we can do that. And one of the key elements is that we establish early on, you know, very important metrics with our clients and service level agreements. And over the journey, throughout the journey, we've come to believe that we can differentiate through, you know, guaranteed performance. For example, if we don't perform to an SLA for a client, then they don't need to pay us. And that's very unique in the marketplace. And in fact, I've never seen that enacted, that guarantee enacted, given that we perform well. So that's a bit about the journey.
That's interesting.
And, yeah.
Yeah, I want to, you know, drill down on that. I suppose just taking it back a step, for those that aren't so familiar with outsourcing, we have a lot of listeners that are exploring outsourcing, and aren't quite familiar or comfortable with the industry and how it works. How do you see outsourcing or offshore staffing, and how does it integrate with a person's business then?
Sure. So when I'm talking to clients, and more specifically when I'm listening to clients, what we tend to hear is that a client, the way I picture it and the way I hear it is that clients view us as though we were in the next room of their office, but we just happen to be half a world away, 7,000 miles away or whatever it might be. So that in a way we're really just an extension of them. So then why work with an offshore partner such as ourselves? Well, you know, a few reasons. One of them is scalability. You know, we have the ability, we're really tapped into the market as far as talent goes, so we can build teams for our clients very, very quickly, much more quickly oftentimes than can be done locally, just because of scarcity of resource. And then you, of course, have the labor arbitrage, which has to do with the cost of labor. And in the Philippines, it's a very favorable as compared to the rest of most of the world, certainly where our clients are. So you have speed, access to resources, and at a tremendous cost savings if it's done properly. And then you layer on top of that the operational excellence and oversight that we provide in particular. You sort of have a well-running machine working with you as a client that is put to work very, very quickly. It's because that's what we do. And then we have, you know, regular governance with our clients, and so that they have a regular rhythm and communications and metrics and performance management and that sort of thing. So anybody that's really looking for a good partner, regardless if they're offshore or whatever type of service they might be doing for you in any capacity, you're looking for these types of things: speed, cost efficiency, access to great, you know, results and talent. And ours just happens to be in the Philippines, where we practice that art and science.
The availability of resources is a really huge thing, isn't it? Having ready available talent as you need it. Because, you know, much of the US now is in the lowest level of unemployment levels, you know, in history. It's pretty much as low as you can go. There's full employment. And of course, you're in California, where, you know, the economy is just going off. There's a lot of startups. There's a lot of demand for highly skilled jobs. And it's a release valve, isn't it? That there's availability of skills in the Philippines, and you know, as an added bonus, it's at extremely competitive pricing. And it's just, I think, building that awareness that, you know, there is that we're not just sort of looking at localized marketplaces and economies now. People are able to dip into a globalized marketplace, not only for products, but also for resources and staffing for their businesses.
Yes, I think you've hit the nail on the head, Derek. It's a global economy. So for companies to compete with each other in the marketplace, they have to and be wise about tapping into the global markets for talent. And in some cases, like as you said, in the U.S., with the unemployment rate being so low, that indicates then that the resource availability is going to be more scarce, as well as prices will be higher. Whereas in the Philippines, we have the ability to access talent both that are currently available and unemployed, as well as those that are currently employed but potentially are open to a better place of employment or a better, more interesting work. We have traditionally, once securing that talent, it's important and imperative to keep a satisfied workforce. And, you know, we pride ourselves on having a very, very low, what's called an attrition rate, where people, you know, job hop and that sort of thing. So we're about, I'd say we're less than 50% of the industry norm in the Philippines. We're a highly desired place to work. And part of that goes with...
It's critical, isn't it? Those management fundamentals, you know, a lot of the time you sometimes see people treat their own, you know, their own internal teams with all of the sort of latest management philosophy. And then they look to outsourcing as, you know, a bit of a barnyard. They can put in the high repetition tasks and not worry about the welfare and the interests of the staff. But that's all changing now, isn't it? You know, you're having high value talent. They're critical players and as much a part of the team. And in the Philippines, it's very much a, you know, an employee's market where you've got to create compelling environments. You've got to create career ladders and you've got to keep them interested to attract that talent.
Yeah, absolutely. Like anywhere else, you know, and especially with the millennial generation, people are very interested in their journey. And as people leave college and or if they're in mid-career, there's still a lot of interest in, of course, being satisfied with work. And not only that, with having the benefits that should go along with quality employment. So, you know, we take it very seriously, our responsibility to all of our employees, and continually are upgrading the program's health and wellness and fitness and providing appropriate health benefits, retirement plans, et cetera, that everybody would want, regardless of location. And you're right, Derek. It used to be the mundane task-oriented activities that were sort of by definition going to a BPO company, business process outsourcing. And in our case, you know, we really are migrating to being more of what's called KPO, or knowledge process outsourcing, which are the higher end functions, as well as some of the lower end functions, if you will, task oriented, but also doing things like, significant research by bringing on data scientists or senior CPAs or, you know, senior directors of finance, for example, that do complex modeling for financials. So you're 100% right. It used to be thought that hand off the low-end function and get it for a good price, and that's a winning strategy, which in a way it is. And on the flip side, the higher end, more expensive traditional talent is going to be even more leveraged than the lower end, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. There's actually better value to be found, isn't there, in the sort of upper levels of the value chain, because you know there's just such a scarcity around the world, and you can maybe afford to sort of pick the blue chip here in Philippines, whereas you might not be able to access that range.
Yeah, 100% agree. Yeah, absolutely.
And so previously, you know, you talk about compartmentalization and, you know, the old school was the call centers, and they had a bit of a bad rap as well because they couldn't necessarily do those functions so well. Whereas now it's the high value skills. It's really any skill set, as you've alluded to. And how are you finding they work with the teams before, you know, you had the call center do that function only, and now they're more integrated with the business as a whole? So do you find people working one-on-one with their counterparts in the Philippines? For people that haven't done this before, how do they sort of wrap their head around just interacting and sharing jobs, and when, you know, it's likely that they will never actually physically be in the same room together?
Mm-hmm. Great question. You know, interestingly enough, many of our clients do travel to the Philippines and conduct trainings and spend time with them, with the organizations that they've built with us in the Philippines. And conversely, many of our clients fly out people from the Philippines to the home offices to ensure that they have the same levels of training and so forth, and indoctrination and or conveyance of information that any other employee would have. As far as the day-to-day communications go, there's so many channels now, from Slack to Microsoft Teams to, you know, to you name it. It's just all across the board in terms of day-to-day communications, as well as you mentioned, the example of contact center, customer care, tech support, that kind of thing. And of course, that's omni-channel now with social media, email, chat, and telephone support, among others. So that the communication is immediate and consistent and reliable. Then you have other cases that are more atypical, which, for example, we have clients where we do the onboarding of their new, of our clients' clients, into perhaps a new software platform. So our folks might take them through, take the client, say it's a medical practice, for example, learning a new medical practice management software. We might take 6 to 8 weeks working with doctors' offices and other medical clinics to fully train them. And so it varies all across the board as far as the rhythm and levels of communication. But for the most part, it is at the behest of the client, and but wide open as far as the options go to have that continuous communication, constant touch, staying in touch, and so forth, just as though they were in the next room over from you.
It really is incredible, isn't it? There's no limit to what can now be done with offshore teams. You know, and you've mentioned there in that brief sort of talk that everything is covered, you know, from back-end operations to obviously the highly skilled, highly talented, to then front-of-house operations where they're interacting directly with the clients. So they're now effectively, you know, at the coalface of the business as it interacts with its clients. There's really no limits now to how offshore staffing can be incorporated into people's businesses. Yeah, you mentioned as well the guarantee of your results or the satisfaction of your clients. Can you talk a little bit to how the sort of separation between, you know, these are your staff, we're gonna source great staff for you, provide a great environment for you, but you are managing the process, the staff, the outcome, versus Infinito being a part of that outcome and that deliverable. How do you sort of manage that gray area and describe that to prospective clients? This podcast is brought to you by Outsource Accelerator, We are the world's leading outsourcing marketplace and advisory. We help big and small businesses with their outsourcing needs, and we can help you too. We cover everything from business and staffing strategy, optimal outsourcing structures, implementations, and fully managed services. If you're already outsourcing, about to start, or somewhere in between, then we can ensure that you get the best from outsourcing. That's the best prices, best terms, and of course, the best results from your outsourcing practices. We list over 700 outsourcing suppliers on our website, host this leading outsourcing podcast, and have over 5,000 pages of content. Because we span the entire market, we can ensure that you get the best deal possible. We offer everything from light brokerage, co-managed services, through to fully managed solutions. Get in touch today. Visit us at outsourceaccelerator.com/quote. Mention that you're a podcast listener, and we will give you special attention plus a 10% discount. This is for a limited time only. Go to outsourceaccelerator.com/quote.
Well, we describe it by typically we indicate, you know, this, that the team is basically, you know, our client's staff, and therefore they need to be trained to the client's processes, expectations, you know, and then over time, over say 4 to 6 weeks, we establish the key process indicators associated with those particular processes that our clients are training our teams on. And then at that time, we start to establish service levels, service level agreements. So we usually are focusing in on productivity levels, quality metrics, and other indices that support the processes and outcomes that our clients expect. And then over monthly or weekly or daily, however the client would like, the performance metrics are shared back. And it's a continuous process where evaluations occur, and the metrics might evolve over time based on the needs of the business, just like it would anywhere else, whether the team's offshore or not. So one of our primary differentiators is our ability to make the metrics a reality, or have our performance match up with the SLAs, so that we are never missing SLAs with our clients, and therefore we need to have very, very superior operational frameworks that we work within. All of our managers are very seasoned, experienced, and as I said, superior. And when you put all that together, along with great customer communication, you tend to have good results in the end. And then in the end, what we're all after is to have a really stable relationship that, like any partnership, you want to have it mutually dependable. And in our case, you know, we look for renewed contracts, and we are extremely successful with that, as well as customer satisfaction surveys and other type of scoring.
You mentioned the SLAs, service level agreements. You mentioned KPIs, and you know, part of this is about sort of building the processes and mapping it down. You know, very commonly I hear from clients that, you know, or commonly they're kind of small and immature in the West, and then they come to the Philippines and they see an enormous enhancement in terms of the maturation of processes, the sophistication of processes, you know, and that's because of the Philippines' 25 years experience in building these processes, refining them, optimizing them. Do you commonly see that actually people's processes, you know, clients' processes become so much more polished and efficient as they build the teams offshore?
Yes, we do. As a matter of fact, you are right that oftentimes clients will bring to us a process that isn't quite polished yet, or one where we've seen before, and we can help to optimize that process usually in two primary ways. One, we have experience, and therefore we can bring some best practice to the table and say to the client, you know, perhaps you'd like to look at it this way. This is how we've done it before, that where it's worked out well, and it can save time or money whatever it might be, or be more efficient in terms of the quality that comes out. The second is over time, working with our particular clients, our team leaders are trained to look for areas where those processes can be optimized. And so we build that into every contract we have, that we have a great focus on business process optimization, and that we will be bringing those ideas to the table all the time, as consistently and as frequently as need be, and as you know, obvious within the process that it can be called from. And then we provide that back to the client. But initially, everything needs to be mapped out, as you said. You map out the processes, you document the trainings, you establish the standards, and then once established, you look to optimize. And that's what we take great pride in, bringing ideas to the table. And as you said, in the Philippines, there's just a tremendous amount of talent and interest in nurturing those processes along, and providing that information and value add to our clients.
Mm. You mentioned the services as a whole, you mentioned that they are full-time dedicated staffing to each client. So you're not sort of pulling from a pool. It's not like an agency. These are full-time dedicated people, and they become a part of the fabric of the client company. Then, of course, there's all the facilities, all of the account management, all of this sort of skill in the process building and oversight there. What is the price structuring for all of that?
Mm-hmm. Well, as you said, we use what's called a dedicated model. So in other words, we don't share. Our clients don't have to share the resources that have been dedicated to their account. We have a standard hardware and software platform that we provide for every person that comes on board. All of our people work from one of our three buildings in the Philippines. We don't have people working from home, and that helps to preserve the integrity of data. So our pricing model, which includes all of those things, the facilities, all the infrastructure, the internet, everything that goes along with being in a building, the security, etc. We use a dedicated contract model, which is an annual contract with sort of easy out clauses, and we find, and our clients find, that works well for both. So it's not a month to month type of arrangement, and the clients know exactly who the team members are. They get involved in the hiring process, the final interviews, and so it's the pricing is done based on. I should say the pricing's calculated more or less on a cost plus model. We're very transparent with our pricing. We share exactly what we're expecting to pay for salaries and so forth. Plus, we share what those overheads look like that I mentioned in terms of facilities and so forth.
And you mentioned everyone working from the office and not working from home. And it's I think it's a double-edged sword that so much of the narrative now is moving towards remote working and people potentially working from home. But I think can be a distraction, can't it? Because there's, you know, I certainly find that there's no better efficiency than people coming into the office, people being a part of a team, you know, and having a sort of proactive profession where you're sort of actively coming to the office and trying to build your career. Do you, you know, you only offer you only offer office-based services?
Well, we have traditionally only offered office-based services because of the stringent data privacy requirements we have and the ISO certifications that we have, undertaken and we're certified on every year. However, you know, as you bring that up, we are looking at alternatives, either work from home or other type of remote work. In particular, if we're looking for people that have a very specific skill set and they may not be regionally located in a way that's conducive for them to come into the office. So it may make sense for us to outfit them at their home or near their home. So it's something we're looking at very, very hard right now, looking at very deeply to see how that fits within our model and within our client base. There's a lot of good reasons to do that, especially when you're looking to balance home and work life for particular employees. But it's so far we've found that it makes the most sense for right now all of the employees to come into the office, and we're just now experimenting with the remote work setup and how we can still guarantee those levels of security and data privacy that we pride ourselves on. So it's definitely a trend, mm-hmm. Derek, and certainly one that we're not ignoring. We're actually looking at it, but at this stage we're a work from the office company, but I would say in 3 to 6 months there will be an element that will not be working from the office, that will be working remotely. We'll just have to see what form that takes.
And you mentioned security. This is it's a sort of dominant concern, I think, for people that are beginning their outsourcing journey. Concern, I think, is how do we know that our data is safe? How do we know that our IP is safe? How do we know that these people aren't working for the competitors? And I think when you see it and when you just are in the environment, it you're assured that none of this would happen. You know, these are just people normally coming to work. They're just working in their work environment. They're not sort of mastermind criminals and have no motivation and along that line. But what are some of the, you know, how do you attend to the security concerns of your clients?
Primarily from some real basics. For example, you imagine there's, we're now up to 850, you know, people working for clients across our three buildings within the Philippines. So, you know, people are not allowed to use some basic things such as thumb drives. No, there's nothing saved on the computers themselves. Everything's in the cloud, generally speaking, within the client's cloud. Secondarily, there are data privacy laws within the Philippines that we happen to adhere to. The Data Privacy Act of 2012 in the Philippines is highly restrictive on what sort of data is allowed to be shared. We're also GDPR compliant, which is a European standard for data privacy. And then there's others that are contained within the ISO standards for data security and facility security, so that there are no leaks, so to speak. And we do things like penetration testing and for cybersecurity hacks that, you know, we do routinely. And as I said, we're audited annually for security with independent auditors as part of our ISO standard. And then if you, I suppose one of the most stringent is HIPAA, which is the health information data privacy compliance that we do conform to. So there's all these sort of certifications and overseeing bodies and standards of security that we hold ourselves to and that are called out in every one of our contracts that we will adhere to them. And of course, we ensure ourselves to protect ourselves and our clients in the event that, that something does happen. You know, and there's many BPO companies, many KPO companies in the Philippines and elsewhere, but it's the small things that really become the big things if there's a problem, such as those that I just mentioned with regard to security. It's a really important element. And I think it has to do with clients and how much are they going to trust a partner that might be offshore. You know, can they trust the partner with their data? And in our case, you know, they can, and we can prove it.
And you talk about talent. You've mentioned a whole range of skill sets. What are some of the specific strengths of Infinito, some verticals that you really specialize in?
Yes, Derek. So the verticals we specialize in sort of in two categories. One is sort of vertical that would be across many industries. So that would be contact center or call center, traditional call center tech support that can be supporting of any of the verticals, whether it be healthcare or whether it be network design or what have you. So traditional call center. The second is in data and research. So we do conduct data and research on an ongoing basis for across many, many industries, conducting, supporting and participating in many, many processes across those industries in the data and research area. The third is we specifically support healthcare. And within healthcare, things like healthcare billing, medical coding, telemedicine, triage nursing, and other things within healthcare. And the fourth line of business or vertical is in financial services, where we do everything from very basic bookkeeping, task-oriented things, to very significant and senior wealth management guidance. We help with fund administration and a variety of financial services. So those are sort of the four main areas that we happen to focus in on. As far as that goes, we're not so much specific to those four verticals as we are very specific on being able to build great teams by attracting and locating great talent. So we're continually expanding the range of businesses that we support all the time. So I speak with folks all around the globe, as well as in almost every walk of life, and finding a way to support them in their businesses.
Do you have sort of three tips for people getting started to make sure that their outsourcing journey is a success?
Yeah, I think I can come up with a few things that would be in common. The first would be to be open to it. We find that if a client has outsourced in the past, they're much more likely to jump in the water again because they've done it before. So I would say, you know, be open because it's a very successful model. The second I would say would be to be fairly specific about what you're trying to do. So not just outsourcing a function, but it might be, you know, how would you define the success of that? You know, would it be financial success or speed to market or, you know, or what have you, whatever the barometer is to measure that success, to be fairly clear about what that is. And then I guess a third thing would be to be open to the partnership, knowing that a partner such as ourselves at Infinito, we are experts at doing what we do. And the more open a client is and has the ability to consider that there will be working with somebody that will ultimately become a trusted advisor and a value add to their own business, the more likely you are to get the highest amount of value from that relationship. And in our case, those are sort of the areas where we pride ourselves in. You have clients that are maybe first or second time outsourcer. They're in expansion mode. So they generally need to move quickly and with great agility and specificity. We're able to help with all that. And in some cases, a client will want to do a proof of concept. So as you say, Derek, to sort of prove that it's a good model and to build from that. So we often do that with starting with a relatively small team and then growing from there, generally very organically, and then at other times in a very planned manner.
And this is why I'm such a big proponent of offshore staffing and outsourcing as you do in Infinito. You know, people aren't just accessing incredible talent, you know, at great prices, but they're really buying into the executive skill and talent that Infinito has, and the skill and experience in building these processes. You know, it's just an incredible opportunity for businesses then to still focus on their core, enable them to grow, and you know, all of this is just sort of bubbling along in the background. It's just an incredible opportunity, and you know, generally people are so concerned and so apprehensive to start, but it's just incredible. And once they do, very often they never look back. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one almost surefire way to be able to enhance your likelihood of success and your ability to compete by taking advantage of the global market of highly skilled talent. And if you're fortunate enough to find a partner that you can rely on and work with and grow with, then you know, you are in a much better position than you are just thinking locally in almost all cases.
So if anyone wants to learn more, if anyone wants to contact you, Michael, or know anything about Infinito, how should they do that?
Oh, they can do that easily. I would say just reach out to me directly at mike.gunion@infinito.com.
Okay, that was Michael Gunion. He is the VP of Sales and Marketing for Infinito. If you want any of the show notes, or you want to get in touch with Michael, or of course Infinito, then go to our show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/278. And as always, if you want to ask us anything, then just send us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.